Dan, I don't know if we've had this conversation yet, but I've given up. I've given up on day trading as a goal for income generation, or at least as a primary source. Went to the dentist to get some work done. I thought I had a cavity. Turned out I've been grinding my teeth. Chipped a piece of my tooth off.
From grinding your teeth.
I'm not even doing good at this yet.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach-churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Bandit Traders podcast. I am your host, Kyle, and joining in today, we've got Bear Goes Long, and shopkeeper Dan is joining us. And if Dan is here, that must mean that we're blowing up the show again. That seems to be the tradition.
I do bring the dynamite.
Oh, and the squirrels. Don't forget the squirrels. Right.
Dude, what's I like the hat, man. Are you switching the styles up?
Yeah, I got this hat because I was going to wear it in a monologue video, but then I realized it was just my new hat.
Is that an Ace Ventura 2? Is that where I remember seeing that?
I have no idea. I saw it at Goodwill for $5 and said yes.
Like Rodney Dangerfield. Does it come with a free bowl of soup? Dude, I found one of your old hats, and I've been trying to muster up the courage to pull it off. I can't do it. I just
one of my old hats got left in your house.
Yeah, it looks.
Oh wow!
I don't know how to describe it. It's not like a cowboy hat. It's like smaller and like has the turned up, and it's gray.
Okay, yeah. I've owned many hats over the years. Yeah. That sounds like one I would own.
All right. Now that we got the banter out of the way with this fascinating hat talk.
Ah! Oh, hats. That'll get them. That's big in that finance demographic, you know.
All right. Bear, how's your Thanksgiving, man?
That was awesome. First time ever, I smoked a turkey.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I stick to weed, but that sounds pretty crazy.
I'm not sure I've actually ever cooked a turkey before, but yeah, I followed a bunch of different directions online and brined it overnight for 24 hours. And then I spatchcocked it, slapped it on the smoker, and turned out awesome. And then I hauled it down to the ambulance service I work with were volunteers. We do have some paid employees. And so there's people stuck there all day. So we just been kind of put on a improv Thanksgiving dinner with whoever wanted to show up. And we had four different families show up, and everybody said my turkey was delicious and moist. And apparently moist is rare.
First, turkey. I want to give you an appreciation for bringing back spatchcock as a word in daily lexicon. I feel that doesn't get used nearly enough.
Hey, you know, Chef Gruel, he was my inspiration. And then I followed, what is it? Meat Church.
Meat Church.
It's a barbecue place out of Texas. Yeah. I followed their directions. So, worked
great. I've been getting into the brining lately. I've been trying that with some pork chops lately. If you can nail that right, like, you got to be careful not to overdo it because it can make things a little too salty. But if you get that just right, man, it's good.
I love a turkey. A brined turkey to me is way better than a roasted turkey. But when you smoke a turkey, are you using any kind of specific coal or wood to get turkey to infuse the turkey?
No, I use Pellegrill because that's just the easy button. I put two temperature probes in it and said, go for this temperature. And actually, I was worried about my timing, so I started it a little hot. Started at, I think, like 350, maybe 350, 300 for an hour and a half until it, you know, the internal temperature got over the 100 mark. And then I brought it down to like 250. And it actually finished like almost an hour early.
Dude,
so I had to drop the temperature down to 165 to just kind of keep it level for the last hour.
It's impressive.
We weren't planning on doing a turkey this year. We're going to do a chicken. And then because it was just going to be like three of us. And
yeah,
we went to the value check and I was like, 33 cents a pound for a turkey. I was like, that doesn't look right. But I mean, if that's right, then I'm just going to go ahead and grab one of these real quick and hope nobody checks it.
Hey, I paid $17 for a 17 pound turkey. I'm just like, whatever.
I think ours cost us $6.
If it goes bad, meh.
Right?
Who cares?
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, do whatever you want with this. I really don't care.
Yeah.
And how was your Thanksgiving, Dan?
Oh, it was great. You know, we just got back from the delayed honeymoon to Italy.
That's right.
So I didn't have time. Normally, I'll do a turkey for all the Jamie Lynn's coworkers, and I like to brine. I like to brine it for 3 days.
Oh wow! Wish I'd done that. What else do you put in there? Just salt, or?
I honestly tried it with just salt, and I never found a reason to add anything else.
I think I tried putting some like thyme or some other maybe some sage and some other stuff in there, but not a whole lot. Peppercorns.
All the recipes I had called for brown sugar.
See, I don't like putting sugars in my stuff. I don't want the sweetness.
I don't either,
but I tried it.
It worked.
Use anything but salt water. I got one of those the bags you get for roasting it in, and I actually just used that to brine it in and then took it out of that. And then what I like to do is push butter between the skin and the meat.
Laura does that.
I saw a lot of people doing that. Chef Gruel poo-pooed that. He's like, it just all comes out when you're in the cook. And I'm like, okay.
Still tastes pretty good.
It does, but it also, the butter that seeps into the skin will help crisp that skin up in a real delicious way. And it doesn't hurt to have the butter melt down over the turkey slowly as you get first 10-minute roast.
I like to finish my nearest strips off with a slice of butter too.
Yeah, so I've got a stainless steel barbecue bowl that I just put literally in the smoker with the turkey, and then put a block of butter in there. And then the last hour, I just kind of go in there about every 15, 20 minutes and just baste it
with
fresh butter.
That's very nice.
Should have known the turkey talk would have been way more successful than the hat talk.
Oh, man. Hats off to that turkey.
All right. I think I've delayed enough. So I have some news that I probably need to talk about. And then from there, we can kind of go with whatever the show is going to become after that.
Squirrel? Nope. What squirrel?
Barry, I've been talking to you a little bit behind the scenes, so you kind of know a little bit what's going on here. But Dan, I don't know if we've had this conversation yet, but I've given up on day trading as a goal for income generation, or at least as a primary source.
Yeah.
I went to the dentist to get some work done. I thought I had a cavity. Turned out I've been grinding my teeth recently. I don't think that's ever been a thing before for me.
Oh, wow.
I actually chipped a piece of my tooth off. It wasn't a cavity. It was a chip tooth. I'm not even doing good at this yet. Like, really, is it worth it? I don't think it's worth the pressure. I don't think it's worth the stress. And honestly, like, the podcasting job have gotten really good and are actually supporting us now. The whole plan when we started this thing was to be financially self-sufficient. Dan, if you remember, the whole point of starting the podcast was to have two buckets. So like, see which one pays us first. Well, it turns out podcasting's paying me first. So
there you go.
Why fight it, you know?
Nice. Nice.
I think I've been not wanting to let go of that, or I'm not wanting that to be the result. But honestly, like, why fight it, man? It's got us there. We're there.
You're there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I sell all this shit off and get rid of some of, you know, the extra car and some other crap. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I will give a lot of credit to Sean in helping me through a lot of other stuff.
I give Sean a lot of credit for helping me come to this realization too. But
right. Yeah. And that I'm not devaluing at all. I think that's a very valid observation to just go, you know what? I can't, this is not me. For me, what Sean's cleared a lot of other dead helped me clear a lot of other deadwood out of the way that's allowed me to be better at focusing on the process and ignoring the money. And you know, everybody always tells you, you know, you can't trade for money. You can't trade for money. Cause if you think about the money, you're just going to screw it up.
Yep.
And that's what I did this morning. Okay. But when I let that stuff go and I'm able to stay detached and trade with, it's not without emotion. It's trade with listening to my emotions, but not letting my emotions drive the process. It's made a huge difference. Huge, huge difference.
My thing, Bear, is I think I just want to take a step back from, like, I don't want to give up on trading and altogether. Mm-hmm. Like, I still want to swing trade. I still like playing with stocks and like following those. I just want to step back, and I don't want it to matter. When it matters, that's when I can't do it, or at least that's what I've been finding.
And I think you're kind of, I don't want to steal anything away, but I think you're taking a lot of inspiration from Fleury's journey. It sounds very similar.
Oh, really?
Just in, you know, stepping back from the intraday trading and focusing on swing trading. And
I know Mike had gone that route.
He's not focusing on trading for income at all, I believe.
I know
I don't want to speak for him, but yeah.
I know his businesses have been picking up quite a bit. And he's still going to be part of the show. We like you, me, Baba Yaga, and some of the other guys, like we had some conversations behind the scenes over like what we want the show to be going forward. And like, to be honest, like I think that the most fun we all ever had on this thing was when it was back in the old days, you, me, Dan, just bullshitting about stock news and economic news, and, you know,
poker,
riffing on that. Yeah.
Funny finance.
Right.
I'm watching, Fleury's playing a poker tournament right now, so I'm watching. Oh, is
he? That's right. Yeah, okay. That's why he couldn't make it today. Hopefully we get him back next week. But one of the things I do want to try to do is make some of these stories a little more personal, though. So, like, one of the ideas that we talked about, and I'm going to tease Fleury when he returns, because he's been talking to us about this new Tesla. He's been driving him to work every day. And how if he had found this car, bought this car 3 years ago, he'd be a millionaire by now. So
6 years ago, yeah.
Right. So the idea is like to maybe have some conversations about his experience with the brand. Then we can look at the stock chart, maybe talk about like what we like in this stock. You know, this is like the old stuff we used to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and spoiler alert, I ordered a new Tesla as well.
When do you get yours? Because maybe we have to time the two of them.
Don't know yet. All they're saying is sometime in December.
What'd you get?
I got the Model Y.
Okay, not a Cybertruck.
Hell yeah. It's the best one in my opinion.
Dude, trust me. The Cybertruck is my dream. Is and they're offering some crazy good deals on Cybertruck leases as well right now. and that's what spun the difference for me was the incentives they were offering on the Model Y were just too good to pass up.
Yeah.
And it's a 3-year lease, so if at the end of the 3 years I'm done with it, I'm done with it.
I've never actually leased a car before. I have no idea how that works.
Basically, when you're leasing a car, what you're doing is you're financing the depreciation. And then at the end of the lease, you have the option of then going ahead and buying the car at a predetermined price.
Right.
And the smart thing to do is, you know, look at it at the end of the lease term and go, okay, is the car worth more or less than that predetermined price? Or do you have some other attachment to the vehicle that makes up for the difference in value?
I've always lit them on fire in the woods, hoping that nobody would notice. Just kidding. Not advice.
Yeah. And that was just it. I ran the math and the lease incentives were huge and referral discounts and first responder discounts and everything else. And I'm like, yeah, the rough math is right now I pay like $300 a month in gas. Oof. And
yeah,
ooh, that's a lot.
And a Tesla I can charge for, I call it free.
Well, you got solar on your
my solar panels.
Yeah.
It's not actually free because I've got like $30,000 sunk into my solar system, but that's the system that runs my house.
Right.
And really the power that I'm using to charge an electric vehicle is the excess solar power that I wouldn't be getting anyways,
right?
Because once my batteries are full, I've got 60 kilowatts of batteries hanging off the side of my house. And once those are full,
wow.
Yeah, you did 60 it yourself kilowatt too, hours.
Right? Like you went and bought all. You did it all yourself, right? You didn't go through like one.
Yeah,
of those,
I designed and built the system myself. Yes. Yeah, and that's
incredible.
That really was very eye opening into the solar business. The margins there are absolutely insane. You know, like rough numbers.
It's a scam, man. I swear.
I know this is a little bit off track, but rough numbers. So solar panels, your standard off the shelf 400 watt solar panel. If you're buying panels individually, locally, they can be $400 to $600 a panel. If you buy them in bulk, a pallet size, which is 30 to 36 panels, which I bought two pallets of panels, they're $100 a piece.
Okay. Yeah. So that's more in line with.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And the really fun part about it is that the panel is actually the cheapest part of the whole system. The mounting for each panel runs at least $100.
What about the inverters?
What kind of inverter are you using?
I'm using it's an EG4 system. EG4 is a brand name. So I've got two. 12 kilowatt inverters. And actually I only have one hooked up because I don't need the other one yet.
You said you're about $30,000 into this so far. I'm guessing a lot of your savings then is you're doing the installation yourself. So that's just all equipment costs.
So
somebody else to install this system, it would have been by 60 to $100,000.
I spent $60,000 and I have. But I had no option in Vegas, right?
Oh no.
I would have to be a professional electrician in order to do it myself. Because yep. Vegas, everything you need a certificate and to be in the right union, it's all fine. I paid $60,000 and I have 28 panels and 10 kilowatt I have the Powerwall 3.
Oh nice. Nice.
So I don't have your power. I certainly don't have 60 kilowatt backup. Mine's 12.
I didn't realize they were only 12. Okay. Yeah, because I have
expansions.
Yeah, and that's what I've done. I've got four 15 kilowatt batteries.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I want to get expansions, but even then I can't like just have Tesla come install it. Like I still have to go through all the contractors, and it ends up being a lot more expensive than the equipment is. But I'll tell you, man, nothing beats charging your car at home. I don't go to the gas station. I don't know. No oil changes.
So what are you driving?
Wait, Dan, I don't think that just because it's electric means you don't have oil, does it?
No, correct. There's no oil.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing you change is tires, brakes, and windshield washer fluid.
Yep. Huh. Yeah. I have.
You have to change brushes?
No.
Change what?
Brushes?
The brushes on the engine?
Or no, motors? They're brushless.
Nice.
All the modern DC motors are all brushless.
I have a Kia Niro.
Nice. I looked at those.
2022. It costs as much as a Tesla brand new, but I think the autopilot, it works better on the Kia than it does on the Tesla.
Interesting. Really? So that was honestly, I've been on the fence for 6 months. And that was the biggest driver. You know, I have a 17-year-old that refuses to get his driver's license. I have an 11-year-old that will probably apply for a driver's license on
the
day
before she's
allowed to.
Where does your 17-year-old live?
He splits time. He kind of goes back and forth between which parent is.
But is he in like a major city and what? Because I know where you live and you do not live. You need a car where you live unless he's planning on.
Oh, yeah. I'm 4 miles from town.
Yeah.
he does have a grandfather gave him an electric bicycle. Which ain't going to work so well in the snow.
No.
And speaking of, the battery just got recalled on the bicycle.
Grandpa
was very insistent that I remove the battery and recycle it, and he'll buy him a new battery in the spring. But
got to wait till the spring. Harsh.
But yeah, no, he's one of these. He's like, he goes to school online. All of his friends are online. He has, I think. This might be a little too much inside baseball, but I think his incentive is he's afraid if he gets his driver's license that his mom's going to make him run all of her errands.
Oh, see, it's interesting. Like the car used to be freedom, like for us when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
Getting the license, you can get the hell out of there and go do stuff with your friends. But if everything's online, you don't really need that anymore, do you?
No. But also I've kind of had some conversations with him of, you know, he was in a pretty bad, couple of bad wrecks when he was like 11, 12. And so he claims there's some trauma from that. But I did talk to him about the full self-driving and the Tesla. And for me, the idea is no matter how good of a driver a teenager is, freaking robots a better driver.
Dude, robots are better than us. Like, let's be honest. They're definitely going to be better. They react faster. The only thing they're not good at right now, at least as far as the Waymos go, is driving in the tropical weather.
Did you see the video that drove the Waymo that drove through the middle of a freaking police
shootout? Yep.
Yeah.
That was fucking funny.
Can you imagine being that person in that car? Just be like,
don't mind me.
Dude, that's the one thing I'm looking for. We're moving back to Arizona in the spring. Oh, and like I said, I'm getting rid of my car because I don't want to drive in Phoenix, first of all. And second of all, like Waymos, yes, please, man. I am all on board with the future. Put me in one of those things. Let it take me where I'm going. I'll just drink and smoke weed in the car. And it takes me wherever I'm going.
I think they
Why do we not want this? Who is fighting this?
I love electric cars. I love robot cars. I'm here for it.
Dude, how much time have we wasted driving? Were we just sick?
Okay.
I mean, and I love to drive. So it's going to be a challenge.
I like driving
for me
too, because, but you know what would be more fun? Letting the car drive me and being able to read my book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Right? And that was the other one that came out this week is the FSD now is letting you, quote, depending on traffic conditions, letting you sit there and browse your phone while it drives.
Oh, because right now you got to keep your hands on the wheel still and all that crap?
No, you have to periodically touch the wheel, and the cameras are monitoring your eyes to make sure you're periodically, you know, looking around, checking your mirrors.
Making sure you're not driving through a crime scene.
Yeah. and Fleury gave it away. He's like, I've been told that if you wear sunglasses, it can't really see your eyes, so it'll just kind of give you a
wondering
pass.
If you could like put like a magazine cut out of some eyes on your
well, but they have to move around because it's looking to go, hey, you checking your mirrors.
That's one of the reasons I went with the Kia Niro version. Like when I'm driving, well, I don't drive to work at the Strip anymore. My company filed Chapter 7 and is gone.
Speaking of which, that'll be part of our economic segment.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Nice segue.
I could, it's not full self-driving, but what it does is it will stay in your lane and it will follow the car in front of you, slow down and speed up based on the car in front of me. So with city driving, like driving to the Strip, I would like fuck the freeway. I don't want to be on there. And I would set everything and I would have my phone right on my dash playing TV. And I'm still watching what's happening. If I turn, it's still me turning and looking. I'm not going to be I don't let the car do that. But like the most monotonous, dreary part of city driving, stop, go, stop, go. The car does it. I don't need to be doing that.
And if you're looking for our friend here, this is Dave Leeson, who lives in Provo, Utah. You can find him driving around there, not watching the roads. If you're
nice, so, nice, yeah, yeah,
gotcha, Dan. dude, okay, so you mentioned there's a couple things that happened there. One, you went to Europe for a little bit. So like,
my honeymoon to Italy.
I'd like to hear a little bit about like what the economic picture over there looks like. Do things seem healthy? Are businesses thriving? Or like, what was your impression?
Oh, yeah. Italy was doing great. We were in the tourist off season. Like you go in November when it's just starting to get cold.
Part where yet?
We went in, we did Rome, we did Siena, we did Florence, and we did Naples.
Okay, so you stayed mostly in the south?
Yes.
Rome is central, but yeah.
Florence is a little bit more north of Rome, but we stayed kind of, central.
Yeah.
Naples towards the south, because we wanted to really take time to soak things up. We didn't want to try to see everything there is to see in Italy.
Smart.
There's a lot.
Yeah. We were going to do a day trip to the Leaning Tower of Pisa that we canceled just to stay in Siena for the day because Siena was so amazing. It's like running around Assassin's Creed. Like it's the buildings are still that way.
Yeah.
I felt like we even would stay at hotels that weren't in tourist areas specifically. And I felt like their economy felt very robust.
How much was a Coke now?
A bottle of Coke?
No, like a half a liter, like a can, like a 500 ml can.
Of Coca-Cola? Yeah. Depending on where I got it, if it was at the grocery store, it would have been like less than a euro.
Really? It was like $4.50 when I was there then, when I went to visit Udine back in, when was that? That was like 2008.
I was getting bottles of them all over the place, and I use usually about 2.5 euro for the plastic, three quarter of a liter, half liter.
What was gas?
Don't know. Did not rent a car.
What was electricity? Did you? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, now that I did.
Right.
I was impressed to see Tesla's definitely made strides over there. We did see some Teslas.
It's always been huge out there.
We saw charging stations. A lot of the mainstream hotels had electric charging stations there.
I'm starting to see more of those around here finally too, but I don't think it's probably near the level.
I'm kind of excited for my next flight because the airport has chargers in the premium lot. And they're always open. And I'm like, sweet, I can park at the charger and leave it there.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Hey, yeah, everything felt like it was doing fine economy-wise. Even for being the slow season, there was a good amount of people around.
Did anybody try to invade you while you were there?
No.
Russia acting up? No? Good.
No. Sneaky bastards. I did meet some young Israeli guys, so that got a little political and emotional for them. I was just being a listener. I wasn't impacting any judgment or projecting any of my own emotions onto anything, but
I understand that one.
Ooh,
right.
Well, you know, when you have somebody that you know go to a music festival and get killed by a terrorist attack, that PTSD sticks with you, right? You're going to be very emotional about that. Oh, shit. Like their pain is real from the effects of terrorism.
Right.
Yep. Anyway. Yep. There are plenty of tourists from all over the world visiting, clearly. I met lots of people.
Yeah.
Were you staying in hotels or?
Yeah, we stayed. I tried to stay in smaller hotels. Like Siena, we stayed in a bed and breakfast that blew me away. They ended up being our favorite. But I tried.
It's just such a great way to meet everybody else.
Oh yeah.
Breakfast at those hotels always threw me off. Like the Italian version of breakfast versus what we think of as breakfast are completely different things.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Why do we have prosciutto on a plate?
Oh yeah. Very thinly sliced breakfast ham.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan. It's too different.
Prosciutto, crepes, espresso. I'm good to go.
I was digging the fruits and cheeses as a breakfast option.
Dude, okay, so speaking of cheeses, when I was there, one of the things I did every time we went out just to try something different, because I couldn't read any of the menus, so I just closed my eyes and point at something, and that'd be what I get. So this other guy that was with me, he tries it, I think, 3 separate occasions, and every single time he landed on the platter that was just like a plate of cheese. Dude, have you not learned the word yet? At least, I mean, like, for the third, you should have known what you're getting and said no, something else.
Is this going to be cheese? It's going to be cheese.
I mean, yeah.
I ate a margarita pizza every day I was there.
Man, Dean, you can get like good anchovies on them out there too. The pizzas are so good.
Ready to nerd out on the tech shaping tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is back for season two. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us because we probably have unused drink tickets. Eric, why should people listen to season two?
I'm really excited for season two because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. You know, we set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as Boston getting. But what's going to be cool is what emerges from season two is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week. Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Yeah. My wife actually set up a thing where I went to a pizza cooking class in Naples. Oh, and it is literally the only pizza place inside a Catholic church in the world. Yeah.
I'm going to tell Eric that, see if he knows.
The priest died and the building just sat there, and some guy renovated it to make it a tire shop or something with the Vatican's approval. Yeah. And then, like, that guy was just done using it, and it was just sitting there. And they asked the church if they could open a pizzeria and how much the rent would be. And the church said, the rent is free. You just have to keep the building as is.
Cool.
Right? Like, to keep up the building.
Nope. Don't have to be Christian or anything like that?
Nope. They just said, let your pizza thrive. So I've been, you know, I've gone to pizza church. I was there.
Pastafarian? Is that where the Pastafarian church is held?
Get this. One of the secrets to Italian-style pizza crust is they use the leftover beer slurry as their yeast.
Oh,
they get it from breweries.
Really?
So here I am in Vegas. There's only one homebrew store. I've been once. I'm about ready to go back. Yeah. I'm like, I need beer yeast.
Dude, so I started making scones after Joel sent me some pictures that his wife made for his birthday, I think it was, or something.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, they are amazing once you finally get the recipe right. It took me a minute to figure out like how little to work it. I didn't realize that folding and making it come together were two different steps, but you know, the second time was much better.
So the last thing you do is fold in the butter?
No, I mean, with this one, you grind in the butter with like a cheese grater. So it's like pea-sized bits. You mix in the flour, then you mix in like all your other, it's like a mixture of heavy whipping cream and sour cream and some other stuff. You mix that all together, but you got to push it, like make it combine as quickly as possible with as few movements as possible. And then you fold it and you fold in the whatever stuffings you want to go in with it. I do chocolate chips and blueberries.
Ooh.
All right.
I know the professional pastry folks at my now gone work, that was my big takeaway, was they would fold in cubes of butter at the very end. Like they'd have everything in the dough done.
Yeah.
And then they fold in butter and then they cook it and then it would just come out.
This one you freeze 30 minutes before you cook it too, to get it back and cold again. Yeah. You want the butter to stay frozen as long as possible. It's like up to the point you stick it in that oven so it doesn't just leak out.
Yeah.
But anyway, you've tased it like 3 times now, dude. Your work. So you get back from vacation, honeymoon.
And... Oh, no. This happened while I was on vacation.
Okay. So I found out while you were there.
I did. Although I had a suspicion this shit was going down.
I think you've been telling everyone to like not count on this place being around.
You know what? I try to be like, I really want everybody to prosper. And when they're not getting the full truth, they're being told a typical corporate line of everything's fine. We're just restructuring, work until the last fucking moment.
Don't
implied.
Worry that nobody paid the bills for a rent for next month. That's not important.
They said we were going bankrupt using Chapter 11. Now I'm like, shit, am I culpable if I say all this?
Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to. We can worry about the economics of it then. So there's been the
blue. There was I can say that there's an agreement in the lease of how much sales we're going to, like one side agrees we'll sell this much per month and the other side agrees we'll get you this much traffic per month, right? And that house was being evicted, and that is public record, by some small group for a violation of lease, and the house filed Chapter 11 to restructure and renegotiate the lease when they failed to do so because some group was like, nope. Then they We're switched done. To a Chapter 7 and just closed.
Right.
Rough.
Which means all of the people who paid $200 a ticket to come see me do my Mad Hatter show, they're just out of luck.
That hurts. How many? Right? I didn't even think about that. How long has the company been hurting, though? I mean, you've been kind of privy to, like, you were part of management for a bit there. It seemed like things were running great, when we had you on last year.
I certainly had the enthusiasm. I don't want to talk bad about the company, but I stepped down as general manager because ultimately I did not feel like I was being properly supported.
Right.
And I feel very vindicated by how things ended.
Do you think it's mistakes that the company made, or do you think it's just an indication of like the business climate or the model? People have less money to spend on things like shows and entertainment.
You know, the numbers are down for visitation and entertainment.
Really? In Vegas,
the numbers are down in Vegas as a whole. The numbers for things like conferences, like Bear going to Vegas,
right?
When I see him, those are up.
Right.
Like people are coming to Vegas for their conferences more and more. For any kind of corporate gathering or any kind of industry gathering, Vegas is getting chosen. But there has been a real decline in tourism, especially this last year. International tourism has slowed down quite a bit.
The international side.
Yeah. That'd probably be a pretty big hit. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Also, let's face it, Vegas ain't cheap. And it used to have a path for a cheap good time.
Yeah.
It used to provide that, and it doesn't. Like, Vegas used to be kings of the service industry, and now they're just as bad as everywhere else trying to squeeze that last buck.
Right? It turned into Disneyland. It's entertainment.
That's right.
It's not for gamblers anymore.
That's right. Well, remember one of the conversations I had to have with my boss was because we were at a business model where they pay to get in and there's a bar and all the games and we sell Red Bull and they sell Red Bull just downstairs in the mall. And the discussion was, how much do we charge for Red Bull? And my boss was of the Disneyland model of, they're inside our arcade. They now have to pay a premium for Red Bull. And I was trying to say, like, if they can get, if they know they can wait till this is over to go get a Red Bull for half the price.
Yeah.
They're going to, like, I don't know.
It depends on, you know, do they get free re-entry?
No.
Then
no.
Then it means they have to leave, which means now they're getting incentivized to leave.
Right, that's even worse.
So,
right?
So that's where I was at, because I actually saw customers have those discussions. Right, like I wasn't making them up. I was reporting, like, hey, like people, they go like eat out in the lobby, like, oh, I can't bring in this alcoholic drink.
People don't like feeling like they're getting screwed like that, like just nickeled on everything, man. That just it's draining,
especially after they paid to walk in the freaking door.
Right? Yeah, you're paying $200 a ticket to get in there, like you said.
Well, that was for a different experience, but
right, but yeah.
But yeah, it's this idea of, you know, we're on the Vegas Strip, so there's a premium, but it's not just Electric House. Like, that premium exists
everyone
all up and down the strip.
Right.
Fucking McDonald's, I pay twice as much for a hash browns if I forget and I go to the McDonald's there on the strip across the street from Caesar's Palace. I'm paying almost $5 for hash browns.
Where's that little CVS that was like in between like New York and something else? Like, I used to go in there to get my beers. You can get a tall boy for like $2, or used to be able to. I think they finally figured that one out.
Yeah, there's also Walgreens on the strip too.
Yeah, yeah.
For people get their medications.
Dude, it's so much better because you're going to kill that beer by the time you get to the freaking casino you're going to anyway, so why not?
So Italy is entirely like the strip. Like, nobody anywhere blinked if I was carrying a beer or even wine and I was just drinking wherever I was at. Everybody's just like, whatever.
Dude, how many people had like $1,000 leather jackets too? That was the thing that blew my mind when I was there, is the style.
Oh my God. Right? They literally, it's a tiny island. So, you know, they're eating a lot of meat. So they're all creating a lot of leather.
That's smart.
There were so many, like when we were in Florence, you couldn't throw a rock and not hit a leather store.
Although we don't recommend throwing rocks at leather stores.
No. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I kind of really appreciate that they were, you know, they're focusing on clothes that are made from real materials. Not,
as opposed to plastics.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the things that I picked up this summer when I was in Vegas. Was long story, but I ended up picking up two linen shirts at one of the malls, like actual linen. And oh my gosh, they are amazing. So wonderful.
Are they softer?
Yes.
That's all I want. I want to be caressed by my shirt, man.
Oh yeah, dude. I'm one of those people. I don't really shop for clothes, but I don't know why, but I look with my eyes, but I shop with my fingers. I don't care how good it looks. It's got to be soft and
that's how I furniture shop. It's like, yeah, I don't care what it looks like. It all matters. Like, what does my butt feel?
Yes, does the talking here.
Right.
Bingo.
Like my leather couch, the brown one, I got to find a buyer for because it's God ugly, and nobody, every house that I brought it into, it has been relegated to the back rooms. It's the most comfortable couch in the world, but
so fucking comfortable.
So comfortable. But man, it is ugly as sin.
Yeah. What? Well, who put a giant pile of shit in your living room? Yeah, but sit on it first.
I know, right?
Sit on it.
On it. You'll see.
It's so warm and cozy.
I was traveling this fall and I was staying with a friend and they're like, oh no, don't get a hotel, just stay on our couch. I'm like okay, and it's like a $6,000 Lazy Boy couch, and I'm like all right, and they're like, and my friend was, she was like, I never would have imagined paying more than $1,000 for a couch until I sat on this one, and I'm like, okay. And I sat on it, I'm like, yeah, and I slept on it, I'm like, oh yeah. Man,
so a good couch is worth it, man. Especially if you can hang on to it for 20 years. and hope it comes back in style before you have to get rid of it, which it didn't.
Yeah, I've for my new house, I've got a couch sitting in storage that I probably bought too soon, but I got a screaming good deal on it at Costco. Nice. So it's like, yeah, okay.
Oh,
but
Costco.
Now I'm feeling bad because it's been in storage for like 7 months, and you know, I need to get the interior finished before I'm gonna.
Excellent.
Because I don't want to get drywall dust in it and paint and everything else.
Good segue, Bear, though, mentioning Costco. I saw Costco in the news for, I think they were filing to try to get their tariff money back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So actually, I actually read deep into that story.
Did you really?
And it's because of the way the tariff laws are written, is that there's a, I can't remember, I think the term is impound date. So what happens is that after, and I want to say it's like 6 months. And the thing is that after the 6 months passes, even if they rule in your favor and say, nope, the tariff should not have been applied. You shouldn't have to pay that. If it's been past 6 months, you can't get a refund.
So it's like a statute of limitations for tariffs.
Right. So it's not a statute of limitation on the tariff. It's a statute of limitation on you being able to get a refund.
Right,
so it's kind of like the 90-day return policy.
So the longer they can delay the ruling, the better off. The more they'll be able to keep of all that.
Right. And so what you do is you file the lawsuit, and that locks in your claim to the money.
Gotcha. Oh, I see. Okay.
So at that point, the six-month rule no longer applies, and the case could take 5 years. But you're still going to get a full refund if you win your case.
So why is only Costco the one doing this? Because isn't it now where like everybody has to file for themselves?
I saw the articles. I saw like six other big companies, even Walmart, I believe, joined that lawsuit.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be shocked if it was just Costco, really, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all just about legal maneuvering.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I was wondering what the plan was on that. I know that they changed something too with like where the rulings only apply to like the individuals who file for it or the plaintiffs now or something along those lines. So
yeah, that's part of that impound.
Costco can't win this battle for every other retailer that everyone else is going to have to file their own lawsuit.
Right. Cause they have to jump in and say, hey, put a hold on my money too.
Yeah. There's one other bit of news in here that I kind of want to talk about then before cause we're getting close to being able to wrap up here, but you guys been following Michael Burry at all?
Bits and pieces.
Did you see he like closed up shop and shuttered his hedge fund, saying that he no longer feels in sync with the markets? He's basically just losing money.
Oh, I mean,
didn't want to
talk
do it
about
anymore.
The definition of FU money.
I just saw an article pop up where he's warning again now for a bad year for stocks and another hard fall. It's like this is like a week after you just closed your thing down, saying that you're. Have a bad read on the markets, and now you're going to come back out and say the same shit you've been saying for the last 10 years that caused you to close everything down. You're still going for it.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Like, I kind of believe him now that we're actually like seeing layoffs and like other shit, like warning signs starting to flash. But you know, you've been screaming that the sky is falling for the last 10 years, and it finally does fall. You don't get to claim you're right, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought that was hilarious.
I was thinking of like when you sent me that story, I was thinking about how when your whole persona is based on a specific, such a niche thing, like, oh, the bear move, like I call downturns, like of all he can say, like is come out and say there's going to be a downturn. Like he based his whole identity around that, right? Like how does he rebrand and move on to be the guy that like now calls a bull run?
Do you want me to show you how to do it? You say, hey, I like stocks, buy more. It's going up.
I like the stock. No, you just really post like a this. Picture of leaning forward in your chair. Yeah. I was like, no, I one of the posts that I saw about that, I think it was Double Wide, said, yeah, Michael Burry's amazing. He called 25 of the last two pullbacks.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, he did it really well that one time, and you know, like kudos to him. And
but you know, God bless him. That one time it was true FU money.
Right.
So hey.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind being in his spot. Making wrong calls and still being rich. I'd take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Anything else we want to talk about today before we wrap things up?
No, we actually got a little reprieve from the snow that was supposed to come in today. So, I look at my solar numbers. My batteries are fully recharged. Life is good.
Nice, nice. It's kind of fun. I feel like we might have rambled a little more than maybe we will be doing going forward. But I don't know. I kind of like the looser experience.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of stuff in there for it's educational for everybody. And
right, learn how to make bread and learn how to install solar. Learn how to make pizza.
If you're not afraid to get out there and do some work on your own, you can save $50,000 installing solar. There is the electrical side of it.
If you're in a state that allows it.
Well,
Montana's a good state for that.
Right. But so the part that requires I take that back. You're in like Vegas area. You probably have to get a permit for freaking everything.
I literally have to get like Nevada Energy. If I can't even unlock my box and like do anything to the panel without their approval.
Yeah. And I am completely off grid, so I got exempted from a bunch of that stuff.
You're not even connected to anything.
No. No. And Montana has a homeowner exemption that says the homeowner can do their own electrical work. I still have to get a permit and I still have to get inspected. So the state electrical inspector actually came in, looked through my house. He's like, Oh, you're good. Okay, call me back when you finish.
We saw your electrical box. That thing looked immaculate.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, the guy walked in and he looked at my work just in the walls and he's like, you're fine.
I don't even have to check this.
Yeah, pretty much. He gave me a quiz. He's like, hey, you have to run a separate circuit for this. You have to do two circuits in the kitchen. I'm like, yep, here. And he's like, yeah, you're good.
Got your GSEIs all squared away.
Yeah. And then, so I have to get a separate permit for my solar system, which I still haven't done because it's still a work in progress. But even
if just never finish it, can you never get a permit and just claim it's in progress?
The only time it's going to come up is when the day comes when I go to sell the house. And if it's not permitted, it's going to be a strike against it. It's going to be a liability.
Right.
But the physical installation of the panels, I can do all of that on my own. The only part that actually has to get inspected by the state is the electrical connection.
Yeah.
And like if I wanted to connect back to the grid, if I was grid connected, that has to be done by a licensed electrician. There's no homeowner exemption for that, which there shouldn't be.
So you have no electricity other than your batteries and what you collect from solar.
I have a propane generator.
Yeah. Okay.
And so what my system allows me to do is I can plug in a generator. In theory, it can remote start the generator. I don't have that set up. So if I go like a week without sunlight, which happened to me last winter, I can just fire up the generator and then all the electricity draws from the batteries.
Yeah.
And that what the generator does is the generator recharges the batteries.
Yeah.
Which is great because then I can run the generator. You know, I'm not trying to carry the variable house load with the generator. I'm just running the generator at full bore, which is its optimal power usage point anyways. And it's just running full bore until the batteries are charged.
How long, how many cycles do you get out of those batteries? Like, what's the lifespan?
These batteries are rated for 10 years.
Dang, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then I got a 1,000-gallon propane tank, so.
Light it up.
Wow.
That grilling at your house is fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so that's going to be one of the things is as I bring more panels online, I've only got 24 panels online right now out of the 60 some I own. I'll be able to shift more and more stuff over to electric. So like right now I use propane for heat. I use propane for my stove.
Should run a line to your neighbor's house and hook them up next. Start become your own. You'll be like the new Montana power generation station.
Yeah. No, all my neighbors paid. So if I did want to get power hooked up to the house, it'd be about $20,000.
Oh, fuck.
One of my neighbors paid 40.
Yeah.
See, just to have the lines run.
I'd rather pay 30 for solar.
That was exactly my math. So when I put in the initial system, it was like 15 and I'm like, $20,000 to the power company and have a power bill every month or $15,000 in solar and sweat equity. That was an easy decision.
It's so amazing. And having the backup propane generator is like, you don't worry.
Nope.
You just don't worry.
Yep.
We've switched. I got an induction stovetop and an electric toaster oven. We use our gas oven as little as possible, keeping everything electric.
A gas stovetop. So the gas stovetop is much nicer to cook with than the electric range.
I give it that.
Okay. It is, but have you tried an induction burner that lets you down by the degree?
No, I've not tried that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
So cool.
Yeah, it's just magnets.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I put one of those in a house in Virginia that I remodeled. That was so cool. Actually, I think I had the best balance. When you go super high end stove, you can have a gas cooktop and an electric oven.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. There are heat pump ovens that use very little electricity, but only one brand makes it. And it's like $3,000 just for the oven. So I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Just buy some wood.
I did switch to a Samsung all in one washer dryer. It plugs into a regular outlet and uses way less electricity.
Really? Oh, so much less. So much less. I have a 24-inch one that's in my kitchen because, again, everything in the house is like temporary. That sits where the dishwasher is going to be because I don't need a dishwasher right now, but it slides right in.
Sorry. All in one. Oh, no, I'm just making a note. We're going to talk about this one, I think, next week because
we're running
out of time here, but. Figure out what companies are making those, and maybe we could take a look at maybe a deeper dive into one of those.
I've got the LG. Yeah. He's got the Samsung.
I have the Samsung that talks to my TV, and if I'm watching TV, it says, hey, your washer's done.
Yeah, mine sends me a text message.
oh, shit.
Future's
okay.
Wild.
Also, and one of the reasons I didn't get it just for the space saving. I got it because I don't know if you're like me. How many times have I let a fucking shirt sit in the wash and get moldy and misty and musky and you can't save it? It's just going to stink forever and you lose a shirt because you forgot to put it in the dryer on time.
You forget to change one load out. The whole wash gets like that. You have to wash the whole damn thing again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Never again.
Yep.
All in one.
All right, folks. I think that's probably going to do it for today's episode. So please join me in thanking Bear and Dan for joining in with us. You can subscribe. What's that?
My pleasure.
Pleasures all around. You can do that by subscribing on your platform of choice. You can email me any wonderful guest suggestions you may have at chinashopproductions@gmail.com. You guys have anything you want to promote? Anything you want to direct people to?
Nah.
Software as a service? Is it still? No, wait.
Service unscripted.
Service is unscripted. Yeah.
I would push people to Kyle's wonderful series with Sean, Sound Performance Psychology.
Yes.
So a lot of great stuff in there. And in a different episode, we can talk about my experiences working with Sean and EMDR while training.
Ooh. That's right. You and Sean have been working on some stuff. Dan, what you got for us?
I am currently revamping Half Cocked Tales. It's there are no new episodes yet.
All right.
But it is coming back.
More than just the man on the street?
Yeah. I don't wanna talk too much about it before I do it. I will say that there will be occasional segments. I am going to start dressing up as Party Jesus, then going down to Fremont Street. To busk and talk philosophy with people while I drink and smoke marijuana and hopefully make some tips for pictures. I don't know.
Party Jesus. All right. I love it, man.
Don't get in trouble with the permit police.
Oh yeah. Do you got your permit?
Freaking Vegas.
I was just gonna pull the Jesus card for that.
Oh right. You're forgiven, my son.
I forgive you. Right. I forgive you. Right. Beautiful. I need a permit to talk to people now. Is that where we're at? I'll definitely whip out the camera to get that content.
You need a permit to accept tips? What?
Right.
Yes, you do.
Actually you might.
I actually don't think you do at Fremont. A young lady I used to work with, that was her main source of income was Friday and Saturday nights.
She'd dress
she would
up
be
as
down
Jesus.
At Fremont dressed up as a Vegas showgirl.
Nice.
And, that makes more sense.
Would pose for photos with people.
So you're not going the showgirl route then?
Well, no, that is the current showgirl route. Like, if you want to make money as a Vegas showgirl,
I mean, more money. You.
For me, yes.
You're gonna
I'm going Jesus instead of showgirl. I figure people will definitely have a lot more fun taking a photo with Jesus with a beer or a joint.
What about showgirl Jesus?
Anything else I can give him?
What about showgirl Jesus?
Maybe when you come to town, Kyle, we'll get showgirl Jesus going.
Good night. All right. Well, until that day, have a green week, guys.
Yeah, we're ending on showgirl Jesus. Holy shit.
Can we?
Amen.
You think of something better?
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.